KALW.
When I came here from Louisiana, I went to Roosevelt, and I didn't have any problems getting along with the kids because it was a lot of African-American students going there.
School is starting back up, and today we're hearing three generations of one Black San Francisco family discuss their experiences in public school.
As I got older and we were bussed out of our community, that's when school became not as enjoyable.
Another story from our series, Learning While Black. Then we meet an Oakland barber who has some very special clients and tells us how he became one of their biggest fans.
I mean, that was excellence. That was greatness, you know what I'm saying? To see the killer crossover in person and to have somebody who's at the peak of their game being of in the community. I mean, that's huge.
Barber to the Warriors through thick and thin. That's coming up. I'm Hanaut Baba, and this is Cross Currents. This summer, KALW was recognized with three national awards for its reporting. The honors came from the Public Media Journalists Association. We wanted to share that work with you again, so this week we're showcasing some of those stories. Reporter Lee Romney won second place for Best Series for Learning While Black, the Fight for Equity in San Francisco. Today we're airing a story from that series where we meet three generations of one African-American family. Elsie Stewart retired a decade ago as a supervisor at the Four Seasons Clift Hotel in Union Square, where she worked for more than 40 years. Her son, Emmanuel, is an elementary school principal, and her grandson, Shaquille, he works in a San Francisco public school now, too, while studying radio on the side. They all still live in the city, and we'll hear about their experiences with the San Francisco Unified School District. And a quick note, San Francisco Unified holds KALW's license, but the station is editorially independent. Now, let's hear from the family.
My name is Emmanuel Stewart. I am the father of Shaquille Stewart, eldest son of Elsie Stewart, and I graduated from George Washington High School in 1980, and I'm also the principal here at Dr. George Washington Carver Academic Elementary School for San Francisco Unified School District. I'm 56. My early memories of school are at Anza Elementary School, being able to walk to school with our community at that time. A lot of us went to the same school, and so we enjoyed walking to school. We also, some of us went to the same church, and if we didn't go to the same church, the churches that we all attended were pretty close to each other.
My name is Shaquille Stewart. I am the son of Emmanuel Stewart and the grandson of Elsie Stewart. And I graduated from George Washington High School in San Francisco, class of 2011. I am 25. I started off at Sheridan.
And then went to Charles Drew
went
for
to
a minute.
Oh yeah, went to Charles minute. Drew for a hot minute. I remember that. That was probably close to school being around people of color. We were bad. I know we were bad.
Inappropriate behavior.
We were bad, but it was a lot of fun going to Charles Drew for that short time. And Argonne, it was more out in the avenues. It was me and another African-American that was in my class, Demetrius. I remember him specifically, and it was always me. And me and him became really close friends because it was just us. How about you, Grandma?
Well, my name is Elsa Stewart. My age is 77. Was born in Shreveport, Louisiana. And I am the mother of Emmanuel Stewart and the grandmother of Shaquille Stewart. When I came here from Louisiana, I went to Roosevelt. Teachers was friendly, and I didn't have any problems getting along with the kids because it was a lot of African-American students going there, and we got along well together. And after Roosevelt, I went to Pauley. They were friendly also because there was a lot of Black kids there also. And we had fun. We had played volleyball in the back, but I wasn't good at volleyball, not at all, because I was kind of a shy person. I'm just getting out of that since I'm getting older. I always remember one of my teachers, her name was Miss McPhee. She was really a nice teacher. She talked to us very well, and I liked her.
Well, I'm glad you remember some of them. As I got older and we were bussed out of our community, that's when school became not as enjoyable any longer. The busing situation for us in the 70s, it was more of supporting somebody else's notion that black children should be integrated with other children and not attend the schools in their community anymore. And so we were bused from the Western Addition to the Richmond and Sunset. One worst incident that I do remember, when I got outside that day, it was many of the boys who caught the bus with me that were on the bench, and it was about 20 of us. They were accusing the boys of doing something at that time, but the entire busload of us were on the bench for one lunch period and a couple of recess periods. So I remember sitting on the hot bench on a hot day for something we don't know if we did something or not. And so a lot of mixed emotions when it comes to elementary school, not so much with middle and high school. What were you going to say, Shaquille?
I was going to say it.
I knew you was going to say something.
Okay. My one memory I do remember, I'm playing dodgeball with these kids and the Asian kids and all that. And I remember I got a younger Asian kid out in dodgeball. I remember he got mad and he threw the ball at me and he called me the N-word. And I remember like hearing that for the first time. I was like, wait, did he just do that? So like my first instinct was one, I wanted to fight him, but I didn't. But I went and told the teacher, Ms. Igel. It really set boundaries at the school for one, what you can do and what you cannot do around the African American students. And it put me in a different spot because I didn't really hang out with those kids anymore. And that's when I really started hanging out with Demetrius. But Demetrius was disabled as well. So he couldn't walk. He couldn't walk. So he was in a wheelchair and he had crutches for a lot of the time too. Middle school was fine for me. I loved going to MLK. MLK was a lot better because there was more African American students. Actually, we had a lot more African American teachers there. Two specifically, Mr. Bryson in sixth grade, who's still there now. And also Miss Gibson, who taught language arts. She was tough, but she was really great. I remember one class that she did for us. She did a whole class on etiquette. And I remember we had to come in, we had to do teach how to wear a tie.
Okay. I just remember just particular at Madison Elementary School, and they were not friendly at all. And they didn't understand that we had a strong work ethic. Many of those educators didn't understand that we attended school. We attended Sunday school. So if you didn't know, Shaquille, why your mom is always stressing this whole thing behind church and school and Sunday school and things like that, it comes from this background that many black folks believe that where you get your formal training at is in church. In elementary school, I still to this day cannot ever remember reading in elementary school, but often remember reading in Sunday school.
And it's a funny thing because when I was in elementary school, I read all the time, but I read to him. So my memories are mostly reading books to him or my mother, either at night or when I get home or something like that. I remember I read a book, he fell asleep.
Yep.
I read it so many times, so.
I don't have no memories of having a bad experience at school when I was going.
No.
None whatsoever.
No.
No.
You wouldn't.
Well.
I'm just saying.
We was kind of a quiet bunch of kids back then. Yeah. That's what it was.
Yeah.
We were quiet.
That's the end of that conversation. I wasn't.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Right. And tried to disrupt everything within the system. Because the system was, to us, a broken system. And a lot of the cats that I went to school with were, you know, put up in remedial classrooms or special ed classrooms. They shouldn't ever been even considered to be put in classrooms where they couldn't achieve at. And to this day, I fight all of that. The whole stereotype of children who can't learn. I just don't believe that.
To me, when I got to high school at George Washington, I don't think I got the best education that I could have gotten there. And a lot of that was a little bit of me too. I didn't do what I was supposed to do. And a lot of it also was the school itself. Because there were so many kids there, they didn't really focus on black kids that went to WASH. Started freshman year, we had like 30. Now when we graduated 4 years later, I think we had probably like half that. I didn't feel like I was getting the most from the teachers. I had five different counselors in 4 years, at two in 1 year. I had one that left, and then I had one that quit, and another one that left.
I got upset with everybody up at the school, and then I became the angry black man up there, and so my wife had to take over. She's more calm than I am. Stepped in to intervene a couple of times, got him back on the right track, and then he finished.
It was predominantly Asian. They just were more pushing towards them. And if you're black and if you're an athlete, you're fine. Like, they will help you out, they'll do whatever. But if you weren't an athlete, if you were just me, a regular student, you were just lost somewhere. They wanted to do a program with the African American students that were there. They wanted to put us all in classes together, AP classes together. And they told us they were going to try to do that. And then when we started that next semester, they didn't do that. I was in AP economics by myself, just so they separated us. I think building community with somebody that looks like you helps enrichment for you to learn a little bit better. That I got a lot better when I went to Skyline College in San Bruno. My writing got better. I did HBCU tour, which made me want to go to Talladega, which is a historically black college in Alabama, which I enjoyed, and I did well there. I was dean list 2 years.
Well, I didn't go to college. When I got out of high school, I got a little part-time jobs. And I did that for a while, and then met and got married and had him.
Very funny.
But it was fun.
Very funny.
And the other two kids, they did good. They went to college and finished it. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't have any problems with my kids at all, none whatsoever. I didn't have to go to juvenile, anything like that. Police wasn't called on anything. Mm-hmm. They were a bunch of nice children. They really was. So I just wish maybe I should have got a more of an education, but I didn't. But I'm good. I raised them, and now he's raising his own, and the others are really doing good in their job that they have, so I'm proud of them.
Those were the voices of Elsie Emanuel and Shaquille Stewart, recorded and edited by reporter Lee Romney. Their story first aired in January 2019, part of the series Learning While Black, The Fight for Equity in San Francisco Schools. It was reported with the support of the Fund for Journalism on Well-Being, a program of the University of Southern California's Center for Health Journalism. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Our next story is from another award-winning series. Our team won first place for best sports reporting for Bounce, the Warriors' last season in Oakland. Remember that? It was just over a year ago, and so much has changed. The Golden State Warriors now play at the Chase Center in San Francisco's Mission Bay. That is when they play. And actually, after a four-month break because of the pandemic, NBA teams are playing again in Orlando, but the Dubs are not part of the shortened season. They weren't good enough. But last year they were, and they were competing for their fourth title in 5 years. As they played their final season at Oracle Arena in Oakland, we aired a story about a man with deep ties to that community. He grew up in East Oakland, and he's Steph Curry's barber. Raphael Cohen reported this nationally award-winning story.
There are a few things that stand out at the barbershop. There's the massive mural of the Port of Oakland. There's the stunning steel sign in Arabic script. And there's a couple of autographed Steph Curry jerseys, neatly folded and subtly displayed on a shelving unit. Then, there's Yusef Wright, a big man with a full beard and an indelibly gentle spirit.
I'm an owner and a curator. And a barber at Benny Adam Grooming Parlor in downtown Oakland. I'm an Oakland native. East Oakland has been my home for the majority of my life.
Some of Yusef's clients happen upon the shop because of its prime downtown location. Others are folks he's known since coming of age in deep East Oakland, back when he was a budding Warriors fan, even though the team was total trash.
I'm 31 right now. For the entirety of my life that I can remember, the Warriors have been in Oakland. specifically in East Oakland. It's a great time to have a ball. The days of $10, $15 tickets, you know, sneaking down into the bottom of the bowl. The majority of my life, it wasn't a great product that was on court, but everybody had heart and everybody showed love, and we felt that. And you'll hear a lot of Oakland natives, you know what I'm saying, talk about Kemp Hardaway and what that meant, and being able to practice with Tim and being able to see him.
Tim Hardaway was a star point guard who played for the Warriors in the late 80s and early 90s. And back then, he sponsored an invite-only hoops camp for local kids, including Yusuf.
I mean, that was excellence. That was greatness, you know what I'm saying? To see the killer crossover in person and to have somebody who's at the peak of their game being, you know, being of and in the community. I mean, that's huge.
Class dismissed, baby.
But that Coliseum, I can hear the roars from my house. Sideshows afterwards, I feel that. You know what I mean? You're a part of that. Because Oracle was the heartbeat of this team. I know Draymond likes to say he's the heartbeat. That place is the heartbeat. That place gave life.
Yusuf isn't just another longtime Dubs fan, nor is he merely a shop owner in a rapidly changing city. He's also Steph Curry's barber. And if you followed Steph's career, you know his hairstyle's always evolving, from a close-cropped cut, to the short blowout with a tight goatee, to the high-top fade with a full-ish beard, and even a brief foray into mini dreads last season.
Welcome back to another episode of Guns Locked. I'm Gunther the Great, and today we're going to be looking at Steph Curry's starter dreadlocks.
Yusuf might never have gotten his clippers on Steph's hair if he hadn't gone to his 10-year reunion at Bishop O'Dowd High School. That's where he reconnected with an old friend who needed a barber for a youth event at their alma mater. He thought he'd be cutting students' hair, but...
They called him like, yeah, you know, blah, blah, blah. We're doing a commercial for Under Armour. You know, there may be some Under Armour athletes there, blah, 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 but, you know. I was like, okay, that's cool. He's like, yeah, so are you down? I was like, yeah, that's cool. And you just kind of left it there, and I'm in my head. I'm like, man, ain't no Under Armour athletes out here.
Clearly, this was before Steph became the face of the sneaker and sports apparel brand.
I ended up calling back, like, yeah, so Stephen Curry's about to be at this shoot, and do you feel comfortable cutting them? Yeah, for sure. So one of my partners, he let me use his truck, and I took the barber chair over there. I was like, man, if I cut this dude, I'm about to do as much as I can to show him an authentic experience, you know what I mean? His point of contact was like, yeah, Stefan, you know, he's coming in, he just needs a lineup, you know, is that cool? And I was like, yeah, it's solid, you know what I mean? Whatever you need me to do, I got it. So, really, it just started there, man. I cut his hair there. I ended up, you know, doing more than a line, and from there, man, we've just been rocking, man. It's been some years now.
So how often does Steph come by for a cut these days?
Maybe 7 times this year he's come in the shop. I mean, and that's been dope. The last time I think he came in, there was this brother who I see at the mosque all the time. And he was sitting right there. And he walked, you know, Steph walks in, says what's up to everybody. And the dude's like, he turns around and he looks. And he like turns around and he looks again. And his jaw just hits the floor. Just like, oh my God, that's... And he shakes his hand and Steph keeps walking, and the dude's just looking at his hand like, like in awe.
Part of their bond is that they're both religious men. Yusuf is a practicing Muslim, and Steph credits his Christian faith with playing a pivotal role in his public success and private life.
I think it's just mutual respect. It's not like, oh, I'm Muslim and this is what we do, and oh, you're Christian, this is what you do. It's just about, hey, we're both men of faith, and that's how we try to guide our lives, you know what I'm saying? And all that means is that when we make mistakes, we just try to correct them, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think there's more similarities in people's faiths than differences. I think people just tend to harp in on and really get stuck on the differences, so.
I hope for more details, but Yusuf stays pretty tight-lipped.
You know, barber chairs are like Vegas, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, typically what happens there, you know what I'm saying? Stays there, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, like I said, I'm not going to dive too deep, sure, but sure. What I will say is we both understand and realize that it's faith that guides us in what we do and how we lead our families, you know what I'm saying? So, he has, you know, daughters and a family and a wife, and I have a daughter and a wife, and you know what I'm saying? We're just trying to both lead our family in the right way. Mm-hmm.
While Yusuf keeps his conversations with Steph confidential, he does offer some insight into the current state of the star's hair.
It's playoff time, man, so we're going to keep the length and we're going to get that beard growing, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's winning time, man. it's winning time.
Youssef's confident in the Warriors' chances for a three-peat. But like many longtime Oaklanders, he's decidedly less upbeat about the team's move across the bay.
I don't know any sports team who's been to the upper echelons like of competition as long as we have in these last 5-6 years, and then has had that team move. Could you imagine if the Bulls were on a road to three-peat in the next season, they moved from Chicago? Like, even if they were still, you know what I'm saying? Even if they're still somewhere in that great state, if they moved from Chicago, you'd feel some type of way. That's nothing towards the players, you know what I'm saying? It's the business of the sport. But at some point, it's like, yo, you feel disrespected almost. I mean, that one hurts. That, you know, we're on the quest for three, and for three in a row. And even if we get it, we, you know what I'm saying? And God willing, we get it. You know that they're not gonna be back. I think everybody wants to see something that they created or something that they've nourished grow into something beautiful and successful, you know what I mean? And you want to see how long you can keep that, you know what I mean? It's a different part of the chess game. And this isn't an indictment or an accusation of everybody who lives in the city. My dad's from the city, you know what I mean? But, you know, the city is not the same as it used to be either. You know what I mean? When they say it's the most densely populated amount of billionaires in the country, I mean, irony is like, doesn't even encompass all of the things, but that our team is finally good and now they go to San Francisco. I mean, that's a heck of a blow, you know what I mean? But it'll definitely have an impact on the town that it's leaving. But you know, it's been a hell of a ride, and I'm happy that we're doing what we're doing now. So I've seen two parades go by. That's not even 100 steps past my business, you know what I mean? It's a beautiful thing, and I'm hoping that I get confetti on my floors again from a parade at the end of the year, you know what I mean? So
as for what keeps Steph coming back to Youssef's barbershop,
there's trust there. And I think, you know, I think it's beyond trust with just hair, you know what I'm saying? My barber instructor told me, like, if a man exposes his throat to you with a razor, you can never disrespect that trust. You know what I'm saying? And this is something that I love. And I think he understands and appreciates that, like, yo, this is a craft of mine and he has a craft of his own. And we both are on a quest to master our crafts, you know?
It's the barbershop, you know the rules. No fighting, no cussing, no cousin, no blood. Now sit yourself down and act like you got some sense.
That story was produced by Rafael Cohen with an assist from Marco Seiler Gonzalez. It was an excerpt from our award-winning series called Bounce, the Warriors' last season in Oakland. Find the whole series online at KALW.org or on your favorite podcast player.
Man, if your fade is as tight as we is on the mic, just got your whip clean and your kicks on tight. About to pull the flyest chick you ever pulled in your life. Then you doing what we doing and you doing it right. Now if your fade is as tight as we is on the mic, just got your whip clean and your kicks on tight. About to pull the
The Cross Currents team includes Vivian Bosu Skinner, Valen Arisibar, Sarah Lai Sterland, Lisa Morehouse, and Marissa Ortega Welch. Our engineers are James Rollins and Gabe Graben. Production manager is Shireen Hadil. Our managing editor is David Boyer. News director is Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet, as interpreted by Daoud Anthony. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.